I invite you to please turn to the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter. Numbers 15. I'd like to read verse 37 through verse 41. Numbers 15:37 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." What do you do to remind yourself of things? Do you use a string tied around your finger? Perhaps a well-placed post-it note? Or maybe you set that item out in an obvious place, that way you won't forget it. And then again, what is it you try to remember? Just an item or two, or perhaps some lessons you've learned through life. Or maybe the answers for the test in class tomorrow. Or perhaps the instructions given you by your supervisor. You're trying to remember those things. Well, what about those things that about how you should act, or what manner of speech that you should have, or the kind of places that you should enter? After all, you are a Christian. In the previous verses in our context, there is instruction regarding offerings made by fire. And the Israelites are told what to bring as an offering and how to bring it. This also applies to any stranger living among them. Then there is instruction that after they enter into the land of promise, and so some information is imparted there. And this is followed by what they are to do when they sin. Atonement may be made, but the presumptuous sinner is to be put to death. And then from verse 32 down through verse 36, the account is given of a man who gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. And that brings us to our scripture reading and to our text. The context speaks of fringes upon their garments as a means of remembrance. And what were they to keep before their minds? The answer is the commandments of the Lord and to do them. Now, this is good counsel. In fact, this is excellent counsel for us as well. We are told in the Bible of the proper response of man in regard to God's Word is, well, Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy Word." Verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Jesus said, and it was written in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2 says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Good counsel, this passage. And permit me to direct your attention then to our text once again. And may you receive encouragement to follow God. Look at the last half of verse 39. Where he says, "And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." I want to speak to you a message I've entitled, "Remember." Remember. Let's pray. Once again, God, we come before you asking your blessings to rest upon us. Thank you for meeting here with us and you're in our presence. And Lord, that we can be in your presence. And Lord, we just thank you so much that we can honor you and glorify you as God and the salvation you've given to us in Christ. And Lord, we pray if there's any in our midst that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to you that they might be saved. And for those of us who are saved, that we would take heed to the instruction found in this text, not perhaps to put fringes on our garments. That's not the point. The point is to remember your commandments and to do them, and so help us as your people to love you more, to serve you well, and to be found true and faithful in all things. I pray that you would guide my thoughts today and the words that I've spoken, that it would be for your honor and for your glory, that the message would come forth clear, and Lord, we would be encouraged and strengthened, and we would learn from it. So we commit this time to you today, and we honor you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One word today I want you to remember, and we find that within the text. Look here into our passage. I'll direct your attention to verse 40. What is the object? What is it that we need to remember? Now, I know as we go through this life, there are a lot of things we need to remember, things that we need to keep in mind, and those things are good, and those things are necessary. But what is a primary focus and should be a primary focus of our Christian walk? We look into the passage, he says in verse 40, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. What are we to remember? We are to remember the commandments of the Lord. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the other commandments and the rules and the guidelines and those things laid down as we have delineated for us within the Scripture. We want to understand, we want to know, we want to remember the commandments of God. Now, in order for us to remember the commandments of God, I believe, first of all, it's necessary that we are to be aware of them. We need to know that there are commands of God, that there is instruction that is given to us, and we can look into His Word and that which is revealed for us and say, okay, Lord, what is it you would have me to do? Because we know that the Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so if I want to follow God and I want to be obedient to Him, I need to recognize that His Word contains truths of which I must respond to. So I want to be aware of them, that they're there, but more importantly, not only be aware that they're present before us, but we must have a knowledge of them. Or may I use the word understanding of them. We need to know them. We need to learn of them. What's the difference? Last week on Father's Day, my wife and my younger son chose to, I guess I have everything now, so they chose to give me an adult toy of a, here we go, a drone. And so now I'm the proud owner of a drone. And this little booklet is the instructions on how to run a drone. And, you know, I know that this is the instruction booklet. I'm aware that this tells me what I need to do and get the controller and what goes up and what turns right and what slows it down and all that kind of thing. I know that's all in here, one, because I already glanced at it. But I'm aware of the booklet. But what if I don't open it up and read it? What if I don't understand it and comprehend it? Then I can know and be aware of it, but not understand or have knowledge of it, it does me no good. Of course, men are notorious about that, are we not? About we get the instructions, something to assemble or whatever, we just set the, I can do this. And we set it aside and we do it without the instructions. And I don't know about you, but there's a few times I've had to dig the directions out of the trash and refix what I couldn't get together. Well, yeah, it's like the Word of God. You know this is God's book and you believe it's His Word and you know that these things are there, but have you bothered to take knowledge of it, to understand it, to read it, to comprehend it? And so if these things be true, and I believe that it is, if we want to know about the commandments of God and we want to remember the commandments of God, we have to know that they're there and we have to be able to understand or comprehend these things. And I submit unto you that both of those items are done by submitting ourselves like you're doing today to the preaching of God's Word, to the teaching of God's Word. But it also requires that you study on your own. I would encourage you to do that. Don't depend on me to impart all biblical knowledge to you. You're going to come up very, very short. You need to love God's Word enough to get into the book, to read it on your own. Do you know why? Because you need to know how to fly the drone. You need to know what to do and how to do it. And this book will tell you how to do it. And so by your studying and by your reading, yes, keep coming to church and yes, keep coming to Sunday school. But we encourage you to love God's Word and to read God's Word. Understand God's Word. If you don't know that it's there and if you don't understand it, then what can you remember? There's nothing to remember. And so we should develop a familiarity to God's Word, even if you can memorize portions of Scripture, have an understanding of the book. I worked with an old guy years and years and years ago, and I tried witnessing to him, and he told me he read the Bible through one time, and that was enough. And then, my friend, I'll tell you, one time is never enough. You can read this book over and over and over and still see things that you haven't seen before as God reveals the truth in a progressive fashion to you. But we find that what's being written here to the children of Israel is, you have the Word of God. They had the laws of Moses here. You have God's Word. You have His instructions. What you need to do is you need to remember them. So we must be aware that they're there, and we must have a knowledge of them. So then what we find in the passage, not just the object, but the action is being expressed in the text. Verse 40, once again, that you may remember and do all my commandments. Again, the biblical exhortation I gave to you in the introduction. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is the whole duty of man, that you would fear God and to keep His commandments. And so as I submitted unto you, it's necessary for us to know that they're there, to understand and comprehend so that we might remember them, then we must do them. And so if I read this book on this drone and I understand the concepts, but then I go out and I bring it over here to the church because of this wide open space and I sit it out in the parking lot, but I set the book aside and say, well, I don't care what that says, I'll do it my way. Then that thing's not going to last very long, is it? Because I've refused to do what the instruction tells me to do. It probably won't even get off the ground if I try to do it my way. And I would encourage you, my friend, to recognize that to know the things of God, if you don't do them, if you don't put it into practice, then you really have not benefited yourself. As an example, you know, the simple knowledge is just not sufficient. And by that I mean this. In the matter of salvation, I don't know about you, but I've talked to people down through my ministry and people at work and the community and even among the family. And I've talked to individuals who knows everything. They know about salvation. They know they're lost. They know they're going to hell. They know that they need a Savior. They know Jesus is the Savior. They recognize that Christ died on the cross, was buried and risen again, and will give them eternal life. They know all the truth. But they fail to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know somebody like that? Somebody that is aware, somebody even has understanding, probably stay up better than you. And yet, they have not repented. They have not believed. They're still lost. They're still undone. You see, that simple knowledge is just not sufficient. You have to put it into practice. And so if I study this book and I learn how to fly that drone, then I have to put it into practice or it will not be sufficient. And my friend, the Word of God must be understood and we must desire to put it into practice. Do you remember what it says over in the book of James in chapter 1 and in verse 22? We are told in that text that Christians are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. It does you no good to come to our services. Oh, you might enjoy the fellowship and all that, but it does you no good to come to the services to hear the Word of God preached, and you say, yep, I heard that, but you never put it into practice. It never changes your heart, never changes your life, never makes any difference in you. It's not benefiting you, is it? Do you know why? Because you're not putting it into practice. You're not doing, you're just hearing. Don't be hearers of the Word, but be doers. And I really do believe, however, that with Christ living in our hearts by His Holy Spirit, I really think that we do want to be doers of the Word because the Holy Spirit dwelling within will draw us to that. We may not live a perfect life and we'll sin against God and we may know the truth and may not fulfill it. I understand we all fall short. But there is within every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ and who are truly born again a desire to follow after Jesus Christ. I guarantee you it's there. And you say, well, wait a minute, I've been saved for 25 years and I've never had a desire to follow Jesus Christ and to be obedient to Him. Then you need to re-examine your salvation, because I don't believe you have any. If you're truly born again, you have a desire by the Holy Spirit within to make a difference in your life, to follow God and to be obedient to Him. You may not do it in perfection, but there will be a desire there to change and to love the Lord and to be obedient. So this is the action. Children of Israel, here's the word. We want you to remember the word, but not just remember it. We want you to do it. And so that's the instruction we find within the passage. May God grant us grace to hear and to do. Now, what's the product of this? I talk about the object. I talk about the action. The product is this. Notice in that verse 40, once again, it says that you remember and that you may do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Be holy. To be sanctified. To be set apart. The word is the expression of being set apart from common condition and use. It is to be dedicated unto. It's a focus upon. Be holy. Be separate. And I think separation is a good word for that. Or to be set apart. And so what we read in the Scripture is that we are to remember the things of God so we may keep all of His commandments for the purpose that we might be holy unto God. Three things emanate that I would like to offer to you. And one is, I think we need to be set apart to Him. If we're going to be holy unto our God, then we have to be set apart unto Him. I use the word commitment in regard to this. Do you have a commitment to Jesus Christ? Where is your allegiance? Now, we all have allegiance. We all have commitments. Politically, you have an allegiance. In the workplace, you have an allegiance. You follow this boss, or you might not follow that other boss, but you have an allegiance. Even within the family, you have some commitment going on. It happens. Well, when it comes to the things of God, do you have a commitment unto God? Will you be able to say, yes, I know I'm saved, I have eternal life, I am a son of God, a child of the King, and I am willing and able and desirous to follow Jesus Christ? Is there a commitment, an allegiance? The Scripture tells us that we need to be doing His commandments to be holy unto our God. Do you have a commitment or allegiance to God? Or is it all about you and about your life and other things? So I challenge you with that. We are to be set apart to Him. Secondly, I believe we ought to be set apart for Him. And I've used the word service in regard to that. Okay, God, if You're my God and You're my Lord and Master and I ought to be obedient to You, then I need to serve You. What is it You want me to do? I like Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he saw that great vision. And he said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." When Paul was converted, he said, "Lord, what would Thou have me to do?" And that's the idea. How can I serve God? How can I be used of Him? Now, I'm not saying everybody will be called into the ministry and everybody will be called into full time. No, but whatever you're in, whatever you're doing, it ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ and ought to be for His honor and for His glory, first and foremost. You say, "Oh, I'm just making a living." But you want to make sure it's a godly way to make a living. You know, you don't want to be out there selling drugs in the street corner and that kind of a thing. So, or cheating on your taxes and all that kind of stuff. No, that's not pleasing to God. But you can do any kind of vocation, most vocations in our world, and be a godly man and a godly woman and do things right and do things honoring, pleasing to Him. And that's part of your service to Him. But also the matter of, "Lord, what can I do in a specific way?" You can read, you can pray, you can help out the church. There are many ways you can serve the Lord. Are you separate unto Him? Are you set apart unto Him? Do you have a commitment? Do you have a service? Have you said, "Lord, whatever You want me to do in my life, I'll do it for You, for Your honor and for Your glory." And see what God will do, by the way. Trust Him with your life and what a difference that makes. The third thing I would offer unto you, He says, be holy. Not only be set apart to Him and set apart for Him, but I think we need to be set apart through Him. And I use the word ability in regard to this because it's so easy to do things in the energy of the flesh. I can do this and I don't need God. And I can, my friend, Jesus said in John chapter 15, without me you can do nothing. And so if I'm going to have my allegiance to the Lord and I'm going to serve my Lord, then I need to know that my resource is the Lord. And the only way I can really serve Him and follow Him and be found true to Him is through Him. And so we read in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I need to be separated, set apart unto God with my commitment and with my service and in my ability, that God would receive the honor and God would receive the glory. Now I see that God is speaking to the children of Israel and says, you need to remember. And I want you to remember. Why should they remember? Because you remember these commandments so you can do them. The product is that you would be separated unto God, or you would be holy unto the Lord your God. And I really do believe that that is should be the desire of every one of us who name the name of Christ. To be holy unto the Lord our God. Well, if you would, look back into our passage once more. And my last point that I want to offer unto you for your consideration this morning is the warning. The warning. We see the instruction, the command, the purpose, and all that's encompassed in verse 40. We've read the verse three times, and so you got an idea of what's going on here. I would encourage you to back up now to verse 39, the second half of the verse. Although the first part of the verse repeats the idea about remembering and keeping the commandments of God, within our context then, notice the last point is the warning. Last half of verse 39. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. Turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. I submit unto you, my dear Christian friend, that that which is without Jesus is against Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 2 down through verse 4, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, talks about their conversion and how that they were dead in trespasses and sins, and God gave them life and God made the difference. But there's a reference in verse 2 through verse 4 about their past. And so we read it here in verse 2, wherein in time past, before you were saved, before you were made alive, that's that word quickened, wherein in time past, and every one of you who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has a time in the past. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past, in fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we used to do. That's what we used to be. But by God's grace, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us and He saved us. He gave us eternal life, my friend. And you can read the rest of the way through the passage. But what we find here is that as a child of God, I have a past without God. I have a past when I was alienated from God. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was a child of wrath. And I followed the lust of the flesh and of the mind. You did too. Every one of us who are saved has that kind of past. What's the warning that God gives to the nation of Israel? He said that you do not follow after your heart and your own eyes, which you used to go a-whoring after. And what we would say in our society, okay, as a Christian, you have a past. Don't live your Christian life from the past. Those things that you learned back there and those ungodly principles and those vicious things and the sin and the corruption and all that the world that you gleaned from in that time when you were lost. Don't follow after that. Don't conduct your Christian life based on non-Christian principles. That's how we would express it in our society. That's what's being expressed to these Jews. Don't go after your heart and your eyes, what you used to do. Don't do that. 1 John chapter 2, if you would. We have the instruction to God's people. 1 John chapter 2. And here's the instruction to every one of us. I mean, we talked about and mentioned within the passage how that we ought to remember and to do so that we might be holy. 1 John chapter 2 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." All of us have a past. All of us knows what it's like to be lost and undone and follow after the things of God. And granted, we did those things because that's all we knew. I mean, we were lost. What do you expect? But now that you're saved, now that there's a difference in your heart and a difference in your life, we should not be living off those things. We should not be looking to the heart and to the eyes that we used to go a-whoring after, as it said within the passage. We want to go better than that. We want to take the guidebook and we want to read it and not just be aware of it, but read it and understand it, but then also put it in an application. May God grant us grace to do that. We want to remember. And I urge you to remember. And so you look back into our passage and he says, "I warn you, don't do that. Don't go back to those things. Don't base your life now upon those things that you learned back then. But you want to remember the things of God and the commandments of God so that you might do those things, so that you might be holy unto me." So it's very simple. The last part of verse 39 says, leave off that which you used to do. So if you used to cheat on your income tax, quit cheating on your income tax. If you used to lie, quit lying. If you used to curse, quit cursing. If you used to do this, you used to do that, put those things off by God's grace. Be honest, be pure. May God grant us grace to do that. Leave off what you used to do. That's the warning we have in verse 39. Why? Because it's spoken in contrast. When you go from verse 39 into verse 40, you find he says, don't do all that stuff in the past, but you do this now. So we see a great contrast there. And of course, in that, what that tells us is that those things of the past is spoken of as a hindrance to holiness. It's a hindrance. If I live my life by the principles I learned when I was lost, it will hinder me in my walk for Jesus Christ. And I will not be set apart to Him like I ought to be in my commitment or in my service or in my ability. You know why? Because I'm drawing off things that I used to do and used to know and used to believe. And that was before I was saved. Didn't have any better sense than that. But as a child of God now, we have better sense, don't we? We have His Word. Oh, may God work it into our hearts and into our lives. And so we see the passage. It's a very basic principle that I'll offer you here today. Remember. Remember. And you don't have to do ribbon of blue. You might put a verse of Scripture up on your refrigerator, maybe. You might have Bible verses on your calendar that every day you look at the calendar you can read. There are ways to remember. And I encourage you to remember. Remember. So in closing, 2 points. First of all, to those of us who are saved, to every believer, we are to remember the commandments of the Lord. God, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to do it? Know the commandments of the Lord and do those commandments. Let's not just be hearers, but let us be doers by God's grace. And then what that will equal out to is that we'll be holy unto God. We'll be separated unto Him, set apart for His kingdom's work, for His honor, and for His glory. And for every one of us who are saved here today, may God give us the grace to remember and to do and to be holy. And if you're here and you're lost, your greatest need is Jesus Christ. And this book tells you that you need Him. This book tells you to turn to Him. As a matter of fact, it commands you to repent. And yet you fail to do it. You see, you might hear, you might know, and you might be able to repeat to me everything about the gospel story. And you can give me the same scriptures and perhaps even quote them. But if you're lost, you've only heard them. You've never done them. And your need is, dear lost person, is to see Jesus. Repent and believe and embrace Him as Lord and Savior. He'll change your life forever. And then after that, you can remember His commands and do them and be separated unto Him, holy as God has saved you unto holiness. It's true for every one of us, is it not, who are saved? And so our heart goes out to the sinner, that you might be saved today. For the Christian, you might find encouragement to love the Word, to know the Word, to remember the Word, put it into practice. May God grant His grace to rest upon us. Let's stand. Once again, O Lord, we come before You asking Your blessings to rest upon us, that as Your children, we would love You more day by day. And Father, by Your grace, be conformed to Your image, to walk with You, to walk after Your Spirit, be sensitive to Your leadership, be filled with Your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to hear, help us to remember, help us to do, and God, cause us to be holy to You. We do pray for those that are lost, that You would show them their need of Jesus Christ, convict them of their sin, draw them to Yourself, grant repentance and faith, that they would be saved today, and we will give You the glory in all things. You alone deserve it, because You're God and there is none other. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Psalms number 331. 331.